This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Porter Goss is a leader with strong experience in intelligence and in the fight against terrorism. He knows the CIA inside and out. He's the right man to lead this important agency at this critical moment in our nation's history.
President Bush announcing his nomination of Florida Representative Porter Goss as the next director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Confirmation hearings will be in the fall. Dan Schur is on vacation, so joining us to review the week's news is our friend, NPR senior correspondent, Juan Williams. Juan, thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Scott.
And Porter Goss is a former CIA agent. He is also currently a Republican congressman. Right. Is there going to be a big old election year partisan wrangle on the floor over his confirmation?
No. The Democrats this week have pretty much said that there will not be a fight. You have to understand the reasoning for this sort of goes to the larger context, which is that Democrats had been pressuring President Bush not to leave the job open and arguably leave the country vulnerable without the head of a Central Intelligence Agency during a time when there's heightened concern over terror, especially with the approach of the election. So they've been pressuring him to put somebody in the job, and so he appoints, nominates Porter Goss. Now, Goss, as you might know, is head of the House Intelligence Committee, and a man that Senator Jay Rockefeller, who's the leading Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, said really shouldn't have been considered. Too political, too much of an insider, someone who, as you pointed out earlier, has been on the floor criticizing Senator Kerry's taken part in conference calls with reporters for the Bush campaign, criticizing the Kerry effort. But I think really the heart and soul of it has to do with the fact that he was a spy, but he's an old school spy. You know, he's the kind of guy who's cloak and dagger. He's not an information analyst, which is the kind of spying that goes on now. And the thinking, therefore, was he's not a change agent. In the larger context of trying to put in place the 9/11 Commission reforms, is he the kind of guy that's really going to shake up the Central Intelligence Agency and make it more responsive? That's the reason that there was opposition to giving the job to the acting director right now, John McLaughlin. He was seen as associated with the failures that led to 9/11 and the other problems.
This brings up, when we talk about possible campaign issues, obviously the polls. And we know the campaign is about issues, but we're at that point where we have to take a serious look at polls. Two polls show that Senator Kerry has gained support among voters in what are called swing states. And that would translate to the electoral better margin on the Electoral College. What do you make of this?
Well, you know, it's all about those key states. And if you look at it right now, if you look across the Midwest, you look at Pennsylvania, Ohio, you know, go into Michigan, even go south towards Florida. Right now, they're all trending towards Kerry. Mm-hmm. And in particular, I would call your attention to Ohio, a state that Bush has visited 20 times. Kerry's been there 12 times. Right now, trending towards Kerry. So what that means in terms of...
I voted Republican last time.
Right. And what you... not Pennsylvania, but yes, generally.
Oh, Ohio did.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you look at the electoral map, what this means is that right now Kerry has a strong lead. And of course, that's the map that's going to count. It's the electoral map, the electoral votes. And I think part of the reason, Scott, is that you have more of an emphasis on the economic issues right now. There was not as many jobs created in July as people had anticipated, and questions about the effectiveness of the Bush tax cuts. Kerry saying he would end tax shelters for big corporations, undo the tax cuts for families that earn more than $200,000. And a lot of the economic issues, therefore, I think are back in play in those states. And, of course, Kerry benefits from the poor performance during the Bush years. Also, Iraq is back in play because the Bush team has put out the third ad now, Scott, in 2 weeks in which they make strong mention of what happened on 9/11. They had an ad put out this week on Wednesday, I believe, in which President Bush speaks himself with Mrs. Bush at his side about his solemn duty to protect the country. So they're reaching back to that 9/11 fervor when the president's ratings were at their best. In fact, the good news this week for President Bush is that Gallup has a job approval poll that shows Bush's numbers for the first time in a long time, now over 50%. And of course, no president who's had a job approval rating over 50% at this point in an election year has ever lost. So that's really good news for the Bush team.
Let me ask you about whether stem cell research has become a real issue in this campaign. Certainly people have been mentioning it, but Senator Kerry has tried to stake out a different position from what he says the administration's position is on this.
Absolutely. His position is that you've got to support, the government should be funding stem cell research instead of putting restrictions on it. Mrs. Bush came out this week to say, well, her husband was the first president to fund stem cell research. But in fact, the way that you hear the conversation take place here in Washington is that there's limited funding for stem cell research. Only a certain number of stem cell lines are available for research, no more to be open, and that there's so many more opportunities, so much progress could be made. And don't forget Ronald Reagan Jr. Speaking at the Democratic Convention about the problems his father had with Alzheimer's and suggesting that if there's a cure, if there's something that can be done, why would the government stand in the way of scientific progress? And I think that argument is now resonating. According to the polls, it works with voters. So the Democrats and Senator Kerry are making a point of hammering it home that they are for stem cell research.
Mm-hmm. President Bush fielded questions this week about whether, well, he was asked about whether he'd favor replacing the federal income tax with a national sales tax. Said, interesting idea, it should be examined. Did that set off an unexpected furor?
It did. You know, I was unprepared for that one. I hit me something from left field. The president has been talking about, you know, sort of an ownership society, is looking towards his second term agenda, trying to lay out what will come in terms of his speech at the Republican National Convention at the end of this month. And this is one of the ideas, you know, that's been floated around. I mean, he's been talking so far about home ownership and that. Mm-hmm. But now this idea is that you would really just do away with the national sales tax. And in its place, national income tax, I should say, and put in its place, create a national sales tax or a value-added tax. A national sales tax would simply be on retail sales, value-added tax on all sales. House Speaker Dennis Hastert also has a new book out in which he says, let's abolish the IRS and let's go with the flat tax or the national sales tax. Mm-hmm. Senator Kerry's response, which is the brouhaha that you refer to, has been to say, wait a second, how crazy? That would be a large tax hike on the middle class. It would mean like a 26% add-on in terms of taxes to existing state and local taxes, now about 6.2% on average. So he's saying it's be a highly regressive. Hastert, Bush, some of the Republican thinkers are saying, wait a second, this would undo all the tax loopholes, all the tax shenanigans that people complain about for the rich. So why isn't this an improvement?
Mm-hmm. Big story this week, of course, was the governor of New Jersey, James McGreevy, announcing he will resign as of, I believe it's November 12th. If I'm not mistaken, he announced that he's a gay American. Did he make this revelation to avoid some bad news that might be coming up about criminal investigations into corruption in his administration, or are we seeing an honest, tortured human soul come to terms with himself?
Wow, it's a little bit beyond the realm
of a
political
analyst. Is that too big a question?
But I will say this. Yeah. I mean, just looking from the outside, he had a lot of scandals in his administration. Secondly, I think there was the possibility that the man that he had, the consensual adult affair, that he was quickly, he phrased it that way, I think, to avoid legal problems that might be coming down the pipe. Right. He's worried about sexual harassment claims. He had this guy on the payroll after it was clear that the man, mm-hmm. as an Israeli citizen, not as an American, could not handle the job of secure home state security for New Jersey. So he had problems, and I think he has yet to deal with the emotional problems that he has.
Okay, thanks very much. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams, author of the new book. I put the title away. I bet you remember it.
My Soul Looks Back in Wonder, Scott.
Thanks.